want to begin my brief message with a short parable from the book called The Orthodox Heretic by Peter Rowlands. I have read it before, but I thought I would tell it again because it fits our theme for this morning perfectly. It goes like this. There is an ancient legend that speaks of God's struggle to guide the destiny of humanity. It is said that God had grown tired of the way that mortals constantly lost their way, creating disasters as they went about their business. And so he sent out his angelic messengers to gather together the timeless wisdom contained in the world, and to place this wisdom into a multitude of books that would be housed in a great library. A library that mortals could use in order to work out how they should live and how they should act in the world. When, after many millennia, the great task was completed, the colossal library stood proudly in one of the world's great capitals, dominating the skyline. However, this huge building contained far too many books for an individual to read. It was all but impossible to reach for the majority of people, and the library's sheer size was enough to put anyone off entering into it. So God asked his couriers to compress the essential wisdom into a single encyclopedic book. Once completed, this single volume was circulated, but it was so huge that one could hardly lift it, let alone read it or put what it said into practice. So yet again, God put his couriers to work, crafting a smaller booklet with all the essential information. The people were lazy, and many of them couldn't read. So the book was refined into a single word, and that word was sent out on the lips and lives of the messengers who took it out to the world. And the word was love. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees which commandment of the law is the greatest, Jesus replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it," he continued, "you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." Out of all the words in the world, love for Jesus was the greatest. Love trumped everything else. In his life with his people, in all the challenges he faced, in everything that he taught, Jesus knew that love mattered most. His religious opponents, on the other hand, didn't really get it. They understood love as a process of doing things, of living within the boundaries of the laws so as not to incur the anger of God. In other words, theirs was a life of appeasement, not of love. It was as if somewhere along the line a deal had been struck. They would tick all the boxes, do and say the right things, give what the law demanded, and in return, they would win the favor of God. And God wouldn't smite them from the earth. But they failed to take cognizance of one rather significant point, namely that God is love. In the person and life of Jesus, people came to see this. They came to see and understand God in a different light, and it was those who had nothing in the world who grasped all of this with both their hands. Those who were nobodies in the eyes of their fellow human beings. Those who were cast out. Why? Well, we might say because he healed some of them. We might say because they had nothing to lose. We might say because he offered them a second chance. But I think there's more to it than all of these things, and it's something that has been distorted rather badly over the centuries, especially in the church. I believe those untouchables, those undesirables, the tax collectors and sinners Jesus often dined with, truly grasped the nature of Jesus. the very nature of God. What they grasped was the fact that Jesus could do no other but to love, because love was the core of His being. In other words, His love was like the source of a river. It bubbled out of Him. And no matter what people tried to do in order to stop it, nothing could stop it. And what did Jesus ask for in return? Some believe He wanted people to follow Him so that He could start a new religion. Not too long after His death, after the destruction of Jerusalem by the forces of Rome, there was a massive split between the Jews and the Jewish Christians and the Gentile converts to Judaism who followed Jesus. And friends, a lot of mud was slung. It led to the two sides going their separate ways, believing that what they held onto, what they held dear, was the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It led to a scenario of us and them, that you were either in and safe or out and damned. And many, if not most, religions followed suit. Is this what Jesus asked for? In terms of His love being given, I don't believe Jesus asked for anything. But I do believe His deepest desire was for people to see and feel the power of what true love could do, and by seeing and feeling, being transformed. I came, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it abundantly. As I've said before, we have a tough time getting our heads around the love, the type of love, the kind of love we see in Jesus. As He emptied Himself for others and also for us. We have a tough time because so much in our world is conditional. So much of our love is conditional, based upon how others might react. Jesus came to break those chains, to set us free from the shackles of such an understanding, to show us a different way. And sometimes our motives for reward might even seem good. I've sat in a number of meetings, church meetings, concerning the dwindling numbers of people in the church, where people have racked their brains thinking up schemes to put bums on seats. And I've had to remind them that that is not the purpose nor the point. Our motive is to love people without any strings attached, to love for love's sake, to love for God's sake, to love sacrificially as Jesus loved. And you might say, yes, but Jesus told His disciples, I will make you fishers of men. And then He showed them and taught them the ways of love. But He gave no guarantees of success, and they didn't sit around their campfires thinking up surefire ways of reeling people in, because genuine, wholesome love doesn't work like that. We love because the nature of God, the nature of the one who dwells within us, is to give. To give without counting the cost. When the rich young man found giving up his riches too much to bear, far too hard to do, the Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus ran after him with a cunning offer, or cursed him for being foolish, or begged him like mad to rethink. It simply tells us, and Jesus loved him. And we need to take note of this. I want to finish my message this morning with a thought that I had the other night as I sat quietly just pondering life and thinking about people. How many of you have heard of a bucket list? For those of you who haven't, a bucket list is a list of things people might might compile things they really want to do before they shuffle off this mortal coil. And normally they are things that are quite unusual, like I would really like to rob a bank, or fly in a rocket, or go parachuting, or take that holiday I've always threatened to take. And my thought was something similar, and it went something like this. Now, you may think it's quite abstract or a little morbid perhaps, but I often think about such things. And it wasn't something that alarmed me or even scared me. My thought was this: what message would I really want you to hear if I knew with certainty that I didn't have long to live? What would I really want you to grasp to know? What would I try and drive home in my preaching if I knew I wasn't going to be around for very long? That one core vital message. And the answer came to my mind without any hesitation, and the answer was love. I would want you to know, to grasp, to understand that God loves each one of you with an unquenchable love. And that love, more than anything else in all the world, is the most important gift we've got. Nothing else matters more than love, the kind of love that allowed Jesus to give his life away. Love, friends, is our purpose in this life. Love is our purpose as this church. Love is our purpose as this part of the body of Christ, to be bearers of love. And if people come to know that love, then simply to rejoice. Amen.